Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Try that again. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول
الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على صلاة حي على صلاة حي على صلاة
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsani taqwim. Praise be to Allah. And after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. Wa ba'atha nabiyyina mubashirin wa munzirin, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ. In his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And he has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave, servant, his last and final prophet. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله, and upon his family, وصحبه, and upon his companions, أجمعين, all of them. We are Yuhal Muslimun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Ya Maryam muqnuti li rabbiki wasjudi wa raka'i ma'a raki'in. Sadaqallahul azim. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. This is the 43rd ayah of the third surah of the Quran, and an expression of it is, O Mary, be devoutly obedient to your Lord and prostrate and bow with those who bow in prayer. Sadaqallahul Azim. There's a story that I want to read. Many of you have heard this story. It's familiar to you, but it makes the point in conjunction with this which is to be taken as the fourth section of the, how do I line this up? It's part 18 of the woman, but it's the fourth part of the positive side of the feminine negative aspect. So it's the fourth part of that. So it's very, it's most relevant to the place that we are in it now. And the title of this story is The Cracked Pot. The Cracked Pot. A water bearer in India had two large pots, each hung on each side of a pole, each end of a pole, which he carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house. The cracked pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering one and a half pots full of water in his master's house. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made, but the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it was made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived as being a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. It said, "I'm ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you." The bearer asked, "Why? What are you ashamed of?" The pot replied, "For the past 2 years, I'm able to deliver only half of my load because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to the master's house, and because of my flaws, you don't get a full value for your efforts." The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, "As we return to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." As they went up the hill, the old cracked pot took notice of the sun warming the beautiful wildflowers on the side of the path, and this cheered it up somewhat, but at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it had leaked out half of its load, and so again it apologized to the bearer for its failure. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I have always known about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered them. For 2 years, I've been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have had this beauty to grace his house." So the moral of the story, the narrator who's published this story, is that each of us have our own unique flaws. We are all cracked pots. In this world, nothing goes to waste. You may think, like the cracked pot, that you are inefficient or useless in certain areas of your life, but somehow those flaws can turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Alhamdulillah, this is a very, very useful story for what we're speaking to, because we've entitled this section of it, The Positive Side of the Negative, of the Feminine's Aspect, the Feminine's Negative Aspect, right? And we use this term negative not really as a pejorative, but we mainly use it for the purpose of pointing to those things that are often a source of friction and frustration in our relationships with each other, that is, as men and women. Now, in the early 70s, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, he gave us some very powerful abstracts. Abstracts are truths without details. It's true, but you don't have the details. Like words make people. When you say words make people, that's true. But what's the detail, right? We say man is mind and woman is womb of mind. It's true, but no details. So in the same way, when we talk about shortcomings or things that frustrate us or things that often are a source of friction in our relationships between males and females, it has everything to do with how much we don't understand about our natures, how much we don't understand about our natures, and this is what this is about. I'm quote the Imam again, rahimahullah alayhi, he said, when you see nature, you see what explains how what manifests manifest, meaning when you see nature, you're seeing why a thing is the way that it is. Why does it manifest this way? When it shows itself in a particular way, when its outer picture is given this way, the Imam says nature is referring to the inside, the inner picture, the necessary workings of things within a body that give it character or give it design. That is nature. This even in this respect, some of you may have known someone who's lost the nerves and the muscles in their arm, but didn't have it amputated. I can remember one person of mine with it. They just didn't have the arm amputated, but it just hung there, right? But when you look at, quote-unquote, a normal body with a normal bone structure and muscle structure, you'll see that there's a little bow in the arm. When the arm is, you know, you're just in a relaxed state, it's not straight down. You know, it has to be, you got to do a military thing to go straight down. But otherwise, when you leave it just normal, there's a little bow in it. Where does the bow come from, the bend? Where does it come from? It said that form comes from the effects of antagonistic pairs of muscles. Antagonistic pairs of muscles. Of course, you have the bicep, you have the tricep, right? So the tricep is pulling one way, and the bicep is pulling another way. And as a result, you get the natural form of the arm from the effects of antagonistic, this is what the scientists call it, antagonistic pairs of muscles. The tricep is antagonizing the bicep, and the bicep is antagonizing the tricep. But both of them in their work complement what they're there to do for the body of the person, right? I don't know, is the hamstring in the back? Okay, so the quadricep is in the front, right? The quadricep in the front and the hamstring, whatever, the muscle in the back. Similarly, so in order for us to do what we do, you have to have one muscle that pulls up and another muscle that pulls back. Okay, well, so we talk about antagonism. When we use the word antagonism, we usually think of it in a quote-unquote pejorative or a negative kind of way. But so it's the same way I'm saying with regard to the feminine's negative aspect. If you can understand that it, her way of being, the nature that she has been given, is a complement that sometimes is experienced as antagonism to the male. And the male, we have to recognize, we also have a nature that frustrates and creates friction with her. But both of us have been made and given the nature that Allah intended for us, and He intends for us to be a complement, that C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T, a complement to each other. And when we learn the right balance with each other, then that's when the form and the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in our nature is brought about. So sometimes there's a tendency to see that natural way of being only in a negative way, okay? So then we take it pejoratively. Oh, man, women, man, you can't get along with them, can't kill them, something like that. But I know y'all ain't thinking about anything like that. And women say the same thing about men. Yeah, it's just, whatever. That's just cultural. cultural humor, all right? all right. So this is the thing to be respected. You have to respect nature. You have to know nature. You have to respect nature. When you disrespect nature, that's where the problems come from and continue. When you don't understand nature, that's where the problems come from, and that's what exacerbates the problem, what we don't know. There's a natural philosopher, he says, the ability of someone to disturb you is based on a weak curiosity on your part. The ability of someone to disturb you is based on a weak curiosity on your part. And man, I can't figure out why that brother always do such and so and so. Man, that sister, man, I don't know what to say about that. It's something you don't know. When you get to know it, then that's where the peace comes from, and that's where the right behavior comes from, and that's what brings the peace, knowing what to do in the presence of certain factors. So what is the concrete, objective, procedural, and behavioral knowledge involved with these powerful abstracts? The abstracts, particularly when you talk about man is mine, woman is womb of mine, or the complementary nature of the feminine and the complementary nature of the masculine in the will of God, and Allah knows best, and Allah is the only one who knows. What is the guidance? In light of Quranic Arabic, understanding the growth of men and women takes place in and through marriage. It takes place in and through marriage. Let me say just footnote a couple of things. I do have a little bit of content that keeps pulling on me, just a little bit, and that's good, that's natural, because you, what, on one level you can say, man, this subject has been pretty long, well, it's a big subject, but then at the same time I say, okay, well, my concern is always being relevant, something, can you use what I'm talking about today, not something, well, later on, after you get married, then you can do this, no. You can use this today. And I say, okay, well, who can use it? Okay. Only married or unmarried men or women. Those are the only ones that can use it. Okay. I think that covers everybody, except that language that they've created in this world and say, well, you know, I don't identify. Y'all know how crazy that is. But all right. So a natural, here's the maxim. The rule, the principle. A natural woman makes a natural man more civilized. A natural woman makes a natural man more civilized. Okay? So what we always have to mention, because we're talking about abstracts, meaning it's true but without details. So the detail would be, well, what about this woman that I know? What about this man that I know? What about this woman that I'm married to? What about this man I'm married to? What about me? I'm not married. Whatever. Those details come up for the individual person. But by the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He create? He created natural men and created natural women. I should say He created natural males and natural females. The man and the woman part of it comes by the nature of the interaction of males and females, and as a product, we, mashallah, inshallah, sometimes get men, natural men, and sometimes get natural women, but not all the time. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of us are born on fitr, but the way that we are socialized takes us out of that form and we become something else. Okay? So, mashallah, you know, in the vast majority, without fear of contradiction, the vast majority of us have not been formed in the perfect nature that we were born on. Okay, just take the hadith of the Prophet, and that's good enough to be able to say that without fear of contradiction, because that's what he said. Everyone is born on fitr, but their parents make them Jew, Christian, Magian, or otherwise, right? And the beauty of Al-Islam, its object is to restore the state that we originally created for. This is fitratullahi lati fatara nasa alayha. Is that something going on? You all right? You're kind of moving like a security dude, man. It's like, should I be concerned about that? It's good. You kind of ninja-like. I'm sorry, that was kind of a new move for me. I watch it. MashaAllah. Okay. Reset. So, fitratullah lati fatara an-nas 'alayha. This is what Allah reveals in the Quran 30:30. La tabdila li khalqi la, dhalika ad-din qayyima. Don't change the form that Allah has created. Dhalika ad-din qayyima. That is your way of life, upright, correct, unmixed. Wa aktharu an-nas la ya'lamun. But most human beings don't know that. Most human beings don't know that. So here, there again, there's a crisis. Most of us don't know that. I'm trying to give cover for those who have a tendency to push back, but you shouldn't push back because this is the truth. And Allah has revealed the Quran and He has given us Muhammad, and Muhammad has modeled al-Islam for us and how to live al-Islam proper, etc. And when we model ourselves upon His uswa, His quote-unquote uswa, which gives us His sunnah, when we model ourselves, that's the way back to the original nature. That's the way back to the original form. That's the way back to the original state. And understand this. Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the structure of al-Islam is built on five essentials. And we all know those five essentials, but what we sometimes fail to recognize, that is only the foundation. That's just the foundation. Now you build your life on the foundation. But if you haven't established the clarity and the meaning and the character that goes with shahada tain and the habit of prayer and the habit of zakat and the regular fasting in the month of Ramadan and everything that goes with that and holding the intention and or making the hajj the hajj doesn't end when you go visit the house and you come out. Okay, well, I got that covered. Well, no, hajj is forever. If you really understand that. But even when you get those established, that's just the foundation. Now you have to build the rest of the structure on top of that. Right? So next time you go by a construction site and you see them doing all that deep digging and them big machines and drills and all this going down, say, oh, they're building the foundation. You know there's a whole lot more work to be done. Can't nobody set up an office on just a slab of concrete. You got to build everything else up on top of that. Okay, that's our life is built out of matters like what we're speaking of. All right. So, have to mention these two things and move past. We talked about, okay, since it is the case that most of us, many of us are reversed to al-Islam, so that means that we were born into families that were not, who our parents were not Muslims. Our parents were not Muslims. And not Muslims, and also not knowing what al-Islam is and really what the nature of the male, what the nature of the female is. Most of our parents were not enlightened human beings. When I say enlightened, meaning knowing what we're talking about here. Doesn't mean that they weren't good people. It doesn't mean that they were bad people. They just didn't know. How many things did we not know, you know, even after becoming Muslims and even now, okay? Consequently, there are failures that have met our life, and our lives have been impressed by failures of parenting in our lives. So all of us in some way, in some measure, have some kind of distortion. But moving, accepting that in principle, but then now coming to recognize that, okay, one of the things that I got to do, and I have to bring myself back to the proper and original and most natural order that Allah intended for me. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be married to do that. You don't have to be married to do that. The goal is, or in order to accomplish that, is to come into the right relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come into your right personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's the beginning of your reformation. That's the beginning of your resurrection. That's the beginning of your restoration to your original factory settings. Can you take shahada tain without being married? Can you make salat without being married? Can you pay zakat without being married? Can you fast without being married? Can you make hajj without being married? Yeah. So that means you can lay the foundation for the return of your original nature just by practicing Al-Islam. And from a psychological perspective, the state to be, what well, language that's given to it in that psychological state is called syzygy. Syzygy being the proper correlation between the masculine and the feminine aspects of ourselves. I won't spend a lot of time on going further on that. I just heard this little ding in my ear that might mean that my earphones might go out. Inshallah, hopefully not. Okay, so last week, there's a psychological term for that also. Not only is it syzygy, but individuation. Individuation, let's break the word up, individuation. Undivided duality, that's what it means. Individuation, undivided duality. Meaning that I am comfortable with, as a man, reflecting the feminine aspects from a masculine core. I'm patient in a way that a man is patient. I'm charitable in a way that a man is charitable. I'm forbearing in a way that a man is forbearing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We do those things that are described fundamentally as feminine, love, compassion, mercy, patience, et cetera. We do those things that are feminine, but we do them from a masculine core. Women, the same. She has to be comfortable with her masculine aspect, but she does the things that she must do masculine, but she does them from a feminine core. And that's what we both have to do as individuals. It's more easily done when you're married and committed to marriage and understanding what marriage is about, then we both work on each other in our adjustments to each other in accordance with our nature and with respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created both of us and to whom our relationship belongs. Then, okay, are you working on me? I'm working on you, and both of us are working under Allah al-Raqib. He's the supervisor of the whole project, all right? So it's like, you know, you don't act right, I'm going to report you to the supervisor. Right? So that's the essence of that. So individuation is the accomplishment of that, but that's something that you also have to accomplish or should accomplish on your own. And I think that's a part of the play in the word marry. A play on the part of the word marry. So we open with the verse of Mary, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Mary, O Mary, be kunut. Make it short. O Mary, be kunut. And you know that the cornerstone verse for this, الرجال قومون على النساء والصالحات قانت. So the righteous woman is kunut. Well, Mary is told, this is before Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, she was told, be kunut. Okay? And again, kunut is something that you can be without being married. Example, Mary. She wasn't married, but Allah told her to be kunut. And of course she was kunut. The point is that Mary represents the state that we are to come into before Allah blesses us with what He intends to bless us with. So when Allah said, oh Mary, be kunut, now we can create a little slogan for the sake of understanding. You have to get married before you get married. If you get married, meaning what? Become like Mary. Oh, is that just for the women? You already know. No, it's not just for the women. You have to be right. Men have to be righteous too. And the very term, the Arabic term for one woman and the Arabic term for one man, meaning one man and one woman, is from the same root. Mim ra hamza or mim ra alif, depends on you know, which side of that debate you fall on. Mim ra alif. And this root word means to be in the habit of doing what is approved and shunning what is held as base or low, to preserve your soul from filthy actions, and to be possessed of human perfection, that's male and female, and human virtue or moral goodness. It means to give food on the occasion of building a house or marrying. This is mar'i. The word mar'i, the Arabic word mar'i, is used, or its root, the same root, mar'i, imra'atun, mar'atun, the feminine side, the masculine side, mar'i, one man, one woman, right? Those two words come from the same root, mim, ra, hamza, mim, ra, aleph, and it means all the things that I just said. And in a verse of the Quran, simply put, elevating it to the collective level, it says, "Well, taqo minkum ummatin yad'una ila al-khayr, ta'maruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar." Let there arise out of you a people calling to all that is good, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is evil. This is what the Quran tells the whole body. Let there arise out of you, but on the individual level, you're to achieve that first on your own. I have to become mar'id. If you follow my logic, follow what I'm pointing out. I have to become mar'id. I don't have to be married to be mar'id. But if I want to be married and for that marriage to be healthy, I need to be mar'id. Because if I'm not mar'id, then that marriage is not going to do much at all. Okay? All right. So you understand the connection, inshallah, between mar'i, its root, and coming into that state, and Mary, the English translation of that woman's name, may Allah bless her, among the four perfect women, Mary. To become married is to come into the state of kunut, sister. So then therefore, that is saying directly to the woman, vasalihat qanit, it's saying you have to be kunut. We already know that from nature, but now even more so, here Mary, a single woman, Allah told her, be kunut. And you don't have to be married to be kunut. But as is the case with Mary, maybe we have to come into the state that Mary was in before Christ was, she was blessed with Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam, the good news from Allah, she had to become kunut first. And after kunut, then here comes the blessing. Maybe that's the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he does. We keep one God, give me this, give me that, give me that. Check your kunut. And what is the kunut? It's described right there in the verse where it says, bow down, it says, make sajda with those who make sajda and bow down with those who bow down, which is what kunut literally is saying. Kunut is being constant in worship, standing long in prayer. You remember this khutbah maybe so many teens of episodes ago, that's what kunut means. So we want Allah's response. Then, well, last week we said, oh, you who believe, give your response to Allah. When he, the messenger, Allah and his messenger, when he calls you to that which will give you life. What are we talking about right here? This is what will give you life. But you have to give your response. You have to answer. And when you answer, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also answers. This is it. And if any other kind of looking, any other kind of looking around, looking for some other alternative, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Pray my sound is still good. Okay. All right. So we've said we should get and we must get mar'id from the Arabic terminology and its root meaning, and married, which is a poetic license we're taking with the English word to mean become kunut. Before we get married, literally, and when we do, it will make the marriage that much more better, and indeed make it even more likely for those who are unmarried, inshallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين آمين الله أكبر Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay. So now to these qualities that are a part of the nature of the woman that have this civilizing effect on the man. We spoke about nisa. Nisa, which there is no singular form for that word nisa, it's always the women. The women. And this nisa is rooted in a word that means civilize. It means to become sociable, to become conversable. Those qualities are the qualities that occur when we realize the benefit from our interaction with the women. So when we aspire to conform to the Quran and the Hadith with respect to women, by her nature, because of the way she communicates, I'm going to have to breeze through this portion because we've said a lot about it, but I want to get to a second major point. Because the woman communicates through hints and suggestions, because the woman communicates indirectly, because the woman communicates for a sense of community, a sense of affiliation, a sense of intimacy, a sense of relatedness. Just spell the word care, C-A-I-R. And these are the reasons that women, that's the background of a woman's communication. She's communicating for a sense of community, a sense of affiliation, meaning I'm connected with someone, I'm connected. She has to be, that's her nature calls for being connected. A sense of affiliation, a sense of intimacy. Intimacy is a source, communication is a source of intimacy for the woman. And relatedness. The woman communicates in order to become more related. And brothers, this is where we fail more often than not. We fail to recognize why she's communicating to us and how she communicates to us. And because we don't understand the nature of feminine communication, we don't switch our mode of communication with her, and we miss the point. We go to the conversation sometimes. I'm not listening. This ain't a beat-up session. I just get enthused about it. It's enthusiasm. It's not anger. Because I say, man, if we only knew this. And so I got to stop talking about that and talk about what I'm talking about. And that is that when we go to a conversation looking for information, mistake, doesn't mean sister doesn't have information for you. She got information. Sometimes she got more information than you feel like hearing, but she got information. But the point is that the nature of her conversation with you? Is she trying to communicate with you to give you information? Or is she trying to communicate with you just for a sense of community, a sense of affiliation, a sense of affirmation, a sense of intimacy, a sense of relatedness? We're just talking. Don't ever make the mistake. We get to the point. There is no point. It's a circle. I'm going to take a turn. You're going to take a turn. I'm going to say something to you, and you're going to listen. And you're going to look me in the eye. And you're going to check in by saying, mm-hmm, is that right? Oh, yeah? And if you see me, I'm the woman now, if you see me, my emotions rising up about this subject, then your emotions need to follow right along with me. Yeah, what? Really? Oh, man. But don't try to solve the problem. Now you're back in the male mode. It's like, yeah, where they at? No, I'm not talking for you to go do nothing about this. I'm just telling you. And mashallah, if you be quiet long enough and let her talk long enough, she'll solve her own problem. You actually are interrupting the process. So don't interrupt. Let's get away from that. The point is that when we recognize these realities of the woman's style of communication, we become better communicators. And in becoming better communicators, we listen better, we communicate better, and what happens? The relationship gets better because intimacy comes out of that sense of affiliation, caring, community, relatedness, etc., and the affirmation of the fact that she was heard. And having been heard, now she feels validated. And in that validation, her love grows. And then those treasures that Allah promises that is in the woman that the Prophet tells us about, those great treasures, those benefits that are in her, they will start unfolding, unveiling, releasing to you because you've come with the right key to unlock the treasure. That's just one of them. And so a man who acts with the awareness of that, he's going to be more civilized. Simple as that. Let's move on to get to number two. There's a lot more to be said, but this is abstract, not trying to detail at all. Now, because of the woman being neurotic in her inclination, and again, in the same way I talked about, don't take negative as a pejorative, I'm also saying don't take neurotic. Usually when we hear this word neurotic, we think about it in a pejorative way. Period. Oh man, he's so neurotic. No, no. The Big Five, I recommend that you just look it up because I'm not going to detail it. Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. These are psychological terms psychological labels that have been put on a grand study that includes hundreds of thousands of people around the world, and have come to the conclusion to label these broad qualities that you will find all human beings with some distribution of these five qualities. Some openness, some people are more open, some people are less open. So it's like this poll. From one end to the other. Conscientiousness means respect for your responsibilities and obligations. Some people have more respect for their responsibilities and obligations than others. Others are kind of lackadaisical about, ain't no big deal, I'll do it later. They're on a range where they're not conscientious, right? And then you also have those who are extroverted, and you know that. Extroverted people who are outgoing, they get their energy from the outside. The introverts are persons who like to spend more time alone, and they get more energy and more satisfaction from going in as opposed to going out, literally and figuratively. I mean, like introverts, I don't feel like going out, being around a whole bunch of people, you know, talking crazy, whatever. It's like, I'd rather stay at home, be by myself. Well, that's an introvert. It's not a bad thing. That's an introvert. But you might be married to an introvert, and you might be an extrovert. You say, man, let's go out. We never go out. That's good for me, right? So you got those things. So people are on different ranges of that, right? So extroversion, introversion. And then you have agreeableness. Some people are more agreeable. Some people are less agreeable or literally disagreeable. Right, and that every one of these have their value, have their place, and every one of our ones that we're related to fall somewhere on the spectrum of either of these that I'm talking about. But the one that I'm focused on today to begin and kind of move on with this with this subject is neuroticism. What is neuroticism? Neuroticism has to, that word is just so close to eroticism. Don't let that pattern come up in your mind. Neuroticism, let me tell you what neuroticism is. It's a fragile. It's a sensitivity to threat. And it's a sensitivity to negative thoughts. Okay? Why? Why would Allah give the woman an inclination like that? Because she's the first one to be responsible for all life when it comes into the world. Whether it's a boy or a girl, it comes first to the mother. And the most fragile life is the newborn life from the woman. So who's going to protect that life? The first one to protect that life, you think about in a state of nature, the first one to protect that life is the mother. And does she not have to be aware of fragility? Does she not have to be aware of vulnerability? Does she not have to be aware of what's problematic for that new life? Yes. In fact, there's a hormone that's released during breastfeeding and also released during labor called prolactin. And the prolactin is designed to put the psychological state in the mother's mind to be more submissive and reducing her concern to the concern of the baby that she's giving forth in labor, and also that now she has in breastfeeding. She has to be very concerned about that. So whatever threatens, so she's sensitive to threats, all threats. That's by nature. That's her natural inclination. That's her natural set. It's not a bad thing, because every woman that you see has that nature. Now, going back to the original part of this conversation, however, when something happens that destabilizes the natural neuroticism, that neuroticism can become overblown. And so she becomes hypersensitive. And the expression of that nature, which has an important set for being concerned about vulnerability and being sensitive to negative thoughts and threats, becomes elevated. And so in the beginning, you might think, she's overreacting. She's always been that way. Well, what you might not know is that natural set of neuroticism has been exacerbated by experiences that makes it overblown, because their life now says, I got to watch out for everything and everybody. But let's let's call it normal neurotics. Normal neurotics. Because I want you to understand, there is a normal neurotic. Don't take it in the pejorative sense. All women, so that therefore that includes the woman that you are intimately related to. It could be your mother, your daughter, your wife, etc. All women have this neurotic inclination. This is her nature. Don't ignore it. Put it in the equation of how you relate to her. And it is that natural neuroticism, that natural neurotic inclination, plus, now speaking as a man, relating to a woman, that concern, that recognition. So now you're acting as a knowledgeable man. You're acting as a knowledgeable man interacting with a natural woman, or interacting with the woman in accordance with what you know about her nature. So when you see a neurotic proclivity, inclination, action, or what have you, where you going? You don't go off. Okay. Example. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I know we all pretty much know this. But here, this is how Al-Islam gives us back our original nature in our adab, in our etiquette. Al-Islam civilizes us, right? And it's this. The Prophet says, "Qul khayran aw liyasmut." He says, "Say what is good or keep silent." We can just take that just straight like that. It's like, okay, well, if I say that won't be good. Okay? Well, then you're following the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, you're getting civilized. Everything's going to be better. But he said it in connection with when he made that statement. The report said it relates to the food that the woman provides for you. Say what is good or keep silent. If you ain't got nothing good to say about that food she put in front of you, you don't have nothing to say. Right? But that also is an everyday thing. Why? Why are you concerned about that? Your concern is Since you know that she is sensitive to negative thoughts, then naturally she's going to pick up on your negative thoughts because she's intimately connected with. What's the matter? And so you don't have to say anything. That's the whole woman's intuition. I know. It's going to be over in a minute. It's all right. Sometimes I feel like a dentist. Your husband, and not this, we know my brother Daoud, he know what's up. So, in case, doctor. Okay. So the point is that when you know that she's sensitive to negative thoughts, we talk about woman's intuition. It relates to a whole lot of other things. But the point is that women can read, they can read faces much better than men. They can read character much better than men. She he said, no, I wouldn't trust that dude no further than I can throw him, man. Yeah. No, he's a good brother. You know, no. That's what God has given her, and that's the benefit of that neurotic inclination. But we might get suckered by somebody, and she said, no, you can't trust that guy. Right? So, okay, in your personal relationship, then you operate with an awareness that neurotic inclination is there, and so you are very concerned about any negative thoughts that you express. That includes your body language, that includes your tone of voice, that includes the words. Look, you don't have to say a whole lot. It's just the way you say it. And she already got it. It's like cat out the bag. It's like, whatever you're going to do to correct, you need to just go ahead and get started. Because there's no fix for it. It's like, and you can keep talking to try to change it up. It's like, but you know, no, I didn't really mean it. It's just a door. Hey, just got to bow down. Forgive me. Forgive me. It's a mistake. Mm-hmm. Telling you. Okay? So, okay, but what does that as an inclination, what does it do for us when we acknowledge that and when we act with an awareness of that, when you behave in a way that says, I know that is a reality, what it does is a whole list of things that I won't be able to cover right now, but I'll just mention a couple. It will make you more introspective. What do you mean introspective? It means you will pay attention to yourself on the inside. How am I thinking? How am I feeling? How am I expressing what I'm feeling? And how is that projecting? How is that being projected to her? See, now, if you don't care, it'll be demonstrated in the way you act. I don't care. It's like, well, why don't we just go and cut this thing loose? It's like, what? But if you say you love and care and have cathexis for this person, then you're going to be introspective. You're not going to treat her like how she feels, and what you do to impact her feelings does not make a difference. If you do that, you're still barbaric. No, you have to submit. You say, I don't feel like being all disciplined like that. Well, then you don't want to have taqwa then. Because that's what taqwa is. Taqwa is to have regard for things in the manner that Allah would have you to regard them. And Allah wants you to regard the woman. You have a responsibility to regard the woman. Ar-rijala qawwamuna 'ala an-nisaa. That's our job under God. From the form that He birthed us in, we were assigned that duty. And we'll have to answer for it. So that's just one thing. There's nine more. I'm not going to cover them right now. But let me run through the list. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just going to mention them. We'll detail later, inshallah. You become more introspective. You become more self-disciplined. You become more patient. You become more considerate. You become more self-conscious. You become more conscientious. You become more concerned. We could detail each one of those, mashallah, a bit. But I'm only saying these are the attributes that come into a man who accepts to relate to the woman according to her nature. Think about how many men are just thinking about the woman's body with no respect for her nature. That's why we don't have more men in the society, because they're not looking on the inside, they're looking on the outside. Allahu Akbar. Oh, I said, oh, bro, you saying that? You've been mad for 50 years, bro. You was out here now. I always got introduced to, you know, little Tyrone, I guess that's his name. I don't know. Tyrone Muhammad, I guess that's it. Astaghfirullah. When I get like this, it must be time to finish up. But y'all know what I'm saying. Something that's an explanation for things being the way that they are. You have to ask yourself, am I a part of the problem or am I a part of the solution? Stop tripping on Trump. Trump doing his thing. Trump's in the game. He's in the game and he's running the game. This is game. He knew it was game when he headed for Washington. Shoot, I've been sending them dudes up there. Now it's time to shoot. I'm going in myself, man. Trump is gangster. I'm just going to make it real plain. So stop waiting for it. Well, that ain't American. It's gangster. Why? Oh, y'all think this is a Democrat thing, man. Shoot, y'all crazy. Cottrell sent me this. It's my sensitivity, but now I got a little clear documentation. Okay, yeah, this is a footnote, and I'm pretty much done today, but you know, part 19 is coming, inshallah. But look, every election year, I mean, I should say something about coronavirus, right? Every election year, we get a new virus. 2004, it was SARS. 2008, it was bird flu. 2010, it was swine flu. 2012, it was MERS. 2014, it was Ebola. 2016, it was Zika. 2018, Ebola came back. And in 2020, now we got Corona. Look. You go in my trunk right now. I got a bunch of water in there. I bought it yesterday just on GPS. I said, now when I go to the store, I'm just always just going to buy a bunch of water just to have it. I'll put it away in my garage, whatever. Look, I got solar panels, power generators. I got the food that you don't need no water or fire to have. I don't have a whole world. Don't go in my garage. You think I got a whole, you know, I'm a prepper, but I'm a junior prepper. You know, a baby prepper, right? I said, you know, I'm a tired camel trusting Allah, right? Okay, I'm not tripping, but you should do something. You should do something. And as I say this, since I'm speaking from this position, I have an obligation to tell you, look, you're responsible for your own life. Do what you got to do. Do the right thing that you believe you should do for your situation. I'm just trying to let you know that though I say this, or rather along with saying this, I'm doing a little something, but I also recognize this game too. And Allah knows better. I think it's the way. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة. الله أكبر شرم الله.
I get the feeling that you really miss me. Girl, I can't stand it when you start acting funny
and look at me like I'm bugging you, honey. Oh, moody woman, you change like the weather. Moody woman, but you got it together. Moody, moody, moody woman, I love you. You bet your life I do. Oh, variety is the spice of life. Yes, the pain makes the pleasure nice. You make my day when you say you need me, but that's no way to play when you say you're gonna. If I didn't have you, oh, moody baby, I know all about you. Moody woman, can't live without you. Moody, 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 the woman I love you. You bet your life I do. Oh, moody woman, you know I love you. A moody woman, I think the world of you. You've been my whole life. Moody woman, I don't wanna leave you. A moody.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, how are you today? I hope things are well with you. And I say we should be. Why? Because Allah is God. And Muhammad is his messenger. Alhamdulillah. That's a blessing for us as Muslims. Beyond that, all believers in God, who believe in the ever existence of God, the ever presence of God, you should be happy. You should be pleased that this Lord has given you another day, life and time, still in those doors opening up for another category of information. Not going to go there. Right now, I want to hear from you. Monterey Bayard, because you've had your hand up for a while, punch one and go out and then come back in if you have a comment that you want to make. Right now, I want to hear from anyone who has comments you'd like to make before we proceed. Comments, contribution, questions, etc. All of the above. Put something on the table for the conversation. Inshallah. We look forward to it. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute listeners. I really don't have any comments because I didn't get
opportunity. Wait, stop the presses.
No, tell him to roll the presses. Roll the presses. I don't know if it's headline news, but Mark Shaheed didn't get opportunity to hear your khutbah. I know it was an outstanding khutbah, but I didn't, so I can't make any comments on it. So, and then I was just confronted, you know, Saturday, we trying to start this weekend school here in St. Louis, and, you know, trying to be on there and then also get it second time. I tried Friday. I was at home in time enough.
Yeah,
but there was no recording, so you, yes, sir.
Mark, I wasn't on, and along with that, we had serious technical difficulty at
that had the message. I wasn't there, but Dr. Zay, Chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
So what I played a piece from 3 years ago when I was dealing with the woman. So there was no recording from me from yesterday.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, that's fine. And you're kind of breaking up a little bit there, Brother Emmanuel. I'm just letting you know. But, long story short, I didn't get it. So thank you for, you know, just saying why. And then this morning, you know, I was with the weekend Clara Muhammad School here, so I missed it. And this is just the first time being able to get on right at the end. And also, I'll just be a listener. I'll just be a listener and everything, but thank you so much. Appreciate it. I know it was an outstanding football. No comments today. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Alaikum assalam. Congratulations, alhamdulillah, on the school. We just need it. It goes without saying. We've got to get that school piece together, or I don't know what we think is going to be our future. And I'm speaking locally as well. I see everyone is listening. We have to have our own schools, and we got to get on it. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
I agree. That's why it's the number one priority for us and our future too. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. All right. I think this is my brother Imam Askia. Askia, is that you? You muted, maybe? Uh, 650.
Oh, Jamil.
Oh, my bad. 650, I tagged your number. Who's speaking?
Jamil Bashir.
All right, I smell. Hey, what's going on? if you heard that song that I played, the Jerry Butler song, right? That's one of those one of those pieces from my Fahim Shuaib jukebox that I play on that Bluetooth Sony that you gave me. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Good to hear you, brother.
Yeah. The only thing I want to say that's crystal clear to me was I understand truly now and crystal clear why when I told you I was homeless, you said there's something you're doing or something you're not doing for you to be in your situation. And right now it's crystal clear on what, because I know what was going on and I know what I was doing. And like I said, the main thing that I have always tried to do is tell people the same thing you told me. And by the grace of Allah, if things have been good since, you know, listening to what you have told me and listening to your last cook bars and all you have been doing, it's been truly a blessing. And that's all I wanted to say. That's my comment. I don't know how it is. I've just had to say something this morning about everything that you've been doing.
Alhamdulillah, I appreciate you, and mashallah, Allah knows you best, but I know your heart and your soul to the extent that we've been together for these 30-plus years, at least 30 years or so, and may Allah continue blessing God. You're very generous, you're very kind, you're very consistent, you're very committed believer, and Allah knows best, and I thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, continue. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
All right. Let me click Georgetta in. Georgetta, you got something to say? You just
Let me click Georgetta in. Georgetta,
you got something to say, or are you just hanging out? I'm gonna take her out. All right. Imam Joel, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Imam and everybody in the class on the call. Real quick, one of the things that come to my mind is, I guess you could say, if you really want to be a real man or if you want to be a real woman, as they, you know, that term that goes loosely around, then you really have to be a real human. And understand your human side of things to be able to be what when it's all said and done, we're human first. I thought that was really 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 point, you know, a really good point that I took out of the khutbah you know, as well, especially and the introvert and extrovert type of things, because that's the relationship I'm in, and then so many others are in that relationship. You have to be understanding, and you have to, it is give and take when it comes to that. I thought I just wanted to say that and throw that out there, and I appreciate you, brother, man.
All right, likewise.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran.
All right. Assalamualaikum. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, it's really so wonderful. Another thing I'm have to, some kind of way I'm going to get it out there again. But everybody, you can go check. You can go check also yourself. Look for just whatever, you know, search engine, Google, whoever you use. Look for, it's called VAC. Solid VAX, visual, auditory, kinesthetic. These are the different ways that people process information, right? And so knowing that different people process information differently, that means that they address problems differently. They respond to problems in different ways. They respond to information in different ways. And so likewise, we have in terms of temperament, you know, some of our mates and ourselves, of course, are visual. Some of them are auditory. Some of them are kinesthetic. And there are different ways that different circumstances, how that disposition shows up in different circumstances. For example, if you're trying to fix something, neither one of you are experts at whatever it is that it is you're trying to fix. And that's right in front of you. And both of you want it fixed. Right, but then one might be a kinesthetic person, another might be, you know, a visual person, and so the kinesthetic person might go about, oh, okay, well, let's just do this. They want to get their hands on it and fix this and move it this way, move it that way, and the other auditory person, for example, may want to talk out, okay, how we're going to go about doing this, right? Sometimes hearing the process that's going to be employed is a way for them to get clarity. The other one gets clarity by putting their hands on it and do it. And so if we don't understand that, okay, well, look, this is the way that they process information. And certainly, this is another thing where paying attention to your mate, you need to be familiar with their history, that meaning your history with them. What do you know about the way that they go about solving problems? What do you know about? If you don't know anything about how they go about solving problems, some of the problems that you have with each other is the problem of not understanding how you both separately and mutually solve problems. Meaning that you might solve problems moving to the west first, that she might solve problems moving to the east first. So here comes a problem, and immediately you go west and she goes east, and so now there's a conflict in that sense. And so therefore, it's a problem. So now the problem is multiplied because each of us don't know how the other one goes about solving problems. But once you realize how the other one goes about solving problems, and unless you have a bona fide, sure enough, proven solution to what it is you're talking about because of your knowledge and experience, well, sometimes you need to let them work out. Even if you come on now, men, I know the men already know this. Women probably too, but I'm more sure about men being a man myself. That is, okay, here she goes. She want to do this. She want to do that. And then, okay. Go ahead. You know, now if you bonify, you know that that's a dead end street, right? You know, okay, she'll be back. Let her go down that dead end street, and then she'll be back, right? So, since you're sweating yourself, you know it's a dead end street. Let her go down the dead end street. Then when she comes back, it's like, that's fine. And don't do a I told you so kind of thing. You know, thank Allah for your clarity and solve the problems, right? What you'll also come to know, if you're sincere, you'll realize that sometimes, you know, you speaking of men now, sometimes man, it could be for the women too, but I'm speaking as a man, that, you know, sometimes you are, you know, being impulsive, right? Sometimes you're being impulsive. And being impulsive means you really don't have an answer. You just you know, you have pride of the situation where maybe you just want the status that goes with the victory of solving the problem yourself, and you kind of like, you want to claim that victory yourself, even though you don't have certainty about how to solve it, but you want to, you know, take that shot at it, right? And so doing so, the same situation can happen to you. No better than you in that case. So patience is always the way. It's always the key. So in terms of knowing how the other solves problems, that solves a lot of problems too. And I say this now. Listen, everybody, you have to work on your life. But I'm going to continue to tell you things that you really need to do. And when you know these things, these things are very valuable for peace in the marriage, you know. And the discovery, we're going to say more about, mashallah, discovery of the marriage. The answer for marriage is in the Moses method. I can talk about that later. Perhaps I've spoken of it before. But the story of Moses, let me go ahead and send you there. If you're not married, story of Moses, when he ran from the town, helped the ladies water their animal. And then at the end of that process, he got a wife, a place to stay, and a job, right, for 10 years, according to the fullness of the Hadith. So there's a sequence of things. Well, I'm here now. So first, be innocent. This is first thing, because we've heard two things, or two comments this morning about personal responsibility. You have to accept personal responsibility for your life. You have to. It's the law of the universe. It's the law of creation. Alaykum anfusakum. Please understand, when the Quran is the laws of the universe in a book. The Quran is the law of the universe in a book. Third time. The Quran is the laws of the universe in a book, right? So when Allah says what something is, that's what it is, really, right? And Allah gives formulas. Throughout the Quran, he's giving formulas for solving human problems. Allah, in the Quran, giving formulas for solving human problems. Allah, in the Quran, is giving formulas for solving human problems. In fact, I think sometimes the language is shout out, right? Let me see. I'm gonna shout out Aisha and see if I can do it. I may not be able to do it. On my Instagram, which I don't manage it. I jump on it every now and then. There's a statement that goes to. See, I'm not familiar enough with it to move that quickly. In any case, the piece that she put up, she makes choices regarding what statements are going to be put on. And the one that's up there now is that know the creation, know the laws of creation, know how to apply them in society. That's a fractured version of my own quote, but that's what I'm trying to say now, which I could just say. But creation-supported social logic, right? Creation-supported social logic, that's what it means. It means look at the creation, see what it's saying in terms of behavioral expectation, which is the logic. Look at the creation. What is it saying to you about your behavior? And then do it. Creation-supported social logic. And it's also the same as scriptural-supported social logic. So what I say is that the Quran is the laws of creation in the law in the form of a book. It's the laws of creation in the form of a book. Recipes for solving human problems in the form of a book. So you have to read it. You have to know what it is that the human problem it is that you're trying to solve. Find that recipe in the Quran. If it's not there explicitly, it's there implicitly, right? So you see, you have to be serious about you know, using the Quran to guide your life, right? So know what kind of problem you're trying to solve. It's like know what kind of dish you're trying to make, all right? Then go and see where's the recipe in the Quran. Then you look at the recipe, and then you bake the cake. You do what the Quran says do. So the Quran is recipes, another language for it, algorithms for solving problems. Okay, so getting married, all right? So Moses, number one, Moses innocent. So you have to be innocent. Alaykum anfusikum. So you have to be, doesn't mean, there is nobody without any quote-unquote shortcomings or slash quote-unquote sin. Everybody has that. But the believer is sincere. They see the sin, and the sin hurts them. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, when your good deeds please you and your evil deeds displease you, then you're a believer. Okay? So that's all. Don't let Shaitan, you know, beat you up, take you down. Ah, oh, look at you. Ah, oh, what a mess you are. Ugh, that's Shaitan. Seek refuge with Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. As soon as you ask Allah for forgiveness, you have been forgiven. That's all you have to do. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Oh, Allah, forgive me. And you are forgiven. And I'm not going to go down that road. It's like, if you imagine that, ah, that ain't enough. Who told you that? Who told you that? Where's your information from? All right, so let's move on. Okay, be innocent, right? And then the next thing you do is help somebody that has less than you. Help somebody that has less than you. We talk about what we don't have. We complain about what we, whatever. And frankly, you know, when we talk about husband, wife, you know, mashallah, as valuable, powerful, important, significant, as they are, husband and wife, what else do you have? Do you have anything else? Okay, I don't have a husband. Okay, what about the rest of the stuff? what about all the rest of the stuff? You know, I don't have a wife. Okay, that's true. What about all the rest of the stuff that you have? Why am I saying that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you are grateful, I will give you more. If you are grateful, I will give you more. If Allah has given us many things, and there's a thing that we look at and we have this sense of deprivation, like, I don't have, this is something wrong. Okay, don't get so drenched in that you fail to be grateful for what you do have. I don't know the answer. Maybe Allah, I'm talking about your personal answer. Maybe Allah is saying, oh, you so on that. It's like, it's almost like you're worshiping that. It's like you can't live without that. It's like this life is not worth living without that. Right? We haven't even talked about the position that you put God in in your mind. That is, you're not putting God in any kind of position, but in your own mind, where is God relative to what it is that you're concerned? Where is He? In relation, is he depriving you? Is he neglecting you? Is he absent? He's not paying attention. Is he not loving you? Is he hating you? You got to know, where is God in my head? In my heart, in my spirit. All right. So the point is, maybe, I'm just giving one hint, that if you're grateful, I'll give you more. So the point is, be innocent, right? And the second step, that's the first move. Second is, help somebody that has less than you, right? Help somebody with that God has favored you with, but that the other person that you're helping hasn't been favored with, as is the case with Moses in the story. Where Moses, the women say, how come you're not watering the animals? My father is old and we don't have a man to do this. Moses said, give me the animals. So he goes and waters the animals, and then he takes the animals back to the women. Right? So he's helping someone who doesn't have what he has. He's helping someone that doesn't have what he has. Now, a powerful punchline comes after Moses did that. After he did that, he went back, sat under the tree, and he sat under the tree, and he made dua to Allah and said, oh, Allah, I am ready to receive any good that you send. Listen to it. Go read that dua. He said, I am ready to receive any good that you will receive. So that sounds like he's saying, I don't have any good. I don't have any good. Any good that you said, right? So what emotion? But he had what they didn't have, the women or the woman that he helped. He had what they didn't have, and he used what he had to help someone that didn't have what he had. And then he turned to Allah about his need, and then what happened is, and the woman came back walking bashfully, right? I mean, it's always a very clear animation. You can see a visual of how she can even tell how she's coming. And so that she bashfully, not dun, 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 dun. No, she's not coming like that. No, she's coming bashfully, right? And then my father wants to see you. And then Moses got all those things, wife, child, place to stay, 10 years, et cetera. But that's the formula. Well, that's a formula. If you want to find another one, you can find it. Alhamdulillah. But the point is, it's like, first, be innocent. All right? Moses was innocent. Help somebody that doesn't have what you have that you can give them, right? So you have something that they don't have. They need it. You help them with that. After that, then you make dua to Allah for what it is that you want or need, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it according to that formula. And then the dua is like you make dua constantly. And like, okay, you know, it's like it's not like you make dua and then you sit there and wait, well, where they at? No, it doesn't work like that. Be sincere. Keep going. Okay, so much for that. So in terms of the nature, I think we were talking about the role of, human nature, understanding human nature. And I was talking about VACs. I talked about visual, auditory, kinesthetic, understanding. So I'm talking to you about things that you need to know about your mate, about your spouse. One, you need to know their the way they process information, right? So you know, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, etc. Look that up. Pay attention to that. Again, we talked last week about these things that you simply need to know. I know I feel like I'm apologizing sometimes for telling you things I know you need to know, because I know you have critics. You have critics out there that don't know zip zap from Zada. You know, is psychological psychobabble. Blah blah blah. You know, it's like, okay. This is a part of one of the reasons why crisis in the Muslim mind, Dr. Abdul Hamid Abu Suleiman. This is the problem in the whole Islamic world that brought us to the circumstances that we're in, such that one nation, I'm not even going to call it a nation, that criminal gangster in the Middle East that's killing innocent people. You got 1.4 billion Muslims, and they're surrounded by Muslims that are making, manufacturing golden Maseratis. What the? What? What? You know, not even talk about being in cahoots with that murderer. So I don't even go down that road. So it's like, again, Muslims, you look at what happened in the history of Africa. Many don't want to respect the fact and the reality. We want to justify, explain away, blame, you know, et cetera, somebody else for doing it. God says He'll never change the grace He bestows upon the people until they change it themselves, what is in their own soul. If you're up and things go down, something changed in your own soul. And if you're going to get from down to going up, something's going to have to change in your own soul. That's the law of creation. That's the, oh, look what they did to me. No, that's not how it works. Aleikum anfusakum. You are responsible for your own soul. Ku anfusakum. Guard your own soul. And the hadith of the Prophet, Allah says, that is hadith Qudusi, it's Allah speaking in first person. He says that it is but your deeds that I reckon up and recompense you for. And let him who finds good praise Allah. Let him who finds other than that blame no one but himself. This is God. When we say Subhanallah, we're saying Allah is beyond indictment. Meaning that no matter what you might be inferring, rationalizing, told, thought, or what have you, it's like you do not have any evidence that could indict God for whatever it is. That God is never unjust to any of his creatures. It's like, okay. So it's like when you look at what's happening, you got to look at those people who are complicit. In that, I won't use the street language, but I don't be messing with, you know, Khalid, whoever he is, DJ Khalid, mashallah, yeah, I said his name, mashallah. But I thought his piece, it said he has been silent on the Gaza issue, silent. I mean, so where's your voice? Where's your voice on this thing right here? Right? Now, if he has said something, I love to hear to know, to take that off my plate in terms of man. Because that is very disappointing to hear. It's like, come on, you got this giant platform, you got millions of dollars, you popping bottles and wah, wah, wah. What you got to say about this? Right? So if anybody says in the chat over there on YouTube, Facebook, you know, put a link in there so we can take that off our plate. But before that, where's all these heavy cats that's always, you know, against this, against that, blah, blah, blah. Where is your voice on this thing right here? All right, so I need to get away from that. The other thing I was talking about in terms of relationships. 708, I'm going to come to you in just a second. I see there's one over there. You do need to get the love languages piece. You got to get the love language. It's worth having. It's not going to have a conversation. I always say this, but I'm going to say it. I think I can keep pushing. The love languages, whatever they are, you know, I've memorized it. All I need to know for me, all I need to know is which one fits my mate. I got that one. And once you got that, that's a very powerful, important piece of information, because when you stack that along with the idea, okay, they're a visual person, they're an auditory person, they're a kinesthetic person. So that when things happen and they start acting in their kinesthetic way, then it's good. You know, that's their kinestheticism, right? It's good. That's fine. Okay. On the love language piece, in terms of if you want to be influential relative to a direction that they may take, it's not manipulation. It's communication. You know, it's using what you know about the other person in order to facilitate the best circumstances in the home and in your relationship. I think you have something like gifts, physical, words, time, service, right? So it's like, okay, if your mate is inclined towards gifts. Right? Gifts, that says love to them. Okay, give them gifts. Get in the habit of giving them gifts, because that's their love. If it's physical, then get in the habit of being physical. If it's words, then get in the habit of saying it in words. If it's time, spend time with it. If that's one, I believe it is one of them. The service, right? Service. right? So do service, do small things, token actions that say, you know, I'm doing this for you, et cetera. It doesn't mean you have to build a house every week. You just do some little thing because it's a communication, right? So love language. So one, know what style they are, visual, auditory, kinesthetic. Love languages, I say that's important. Now, here's one, and, you know, hey, I don't even know. It's like you can get the full version. You can get a free version, and you can get the full version to get the information. And if of course, you're married, then my recommendation is both of you do it. But whatever it costs, I can't think of it. And I'm sure it's under $30, or at least it was when I did. But the point is, there's a battery of assessment, temperament. It's called Kiersey Temperament Sorter. Kiersey, K-I-E-R-S-E-Y. Kiersey Temperament Sorter. I believe it's called Temperament Sorter 2, or at least it was last time I did it. And that's been some time ago. But when we were much more actively going around with the Merriam Conference, we would always lead off the conference with the Kiersey Temperament Sorter, right? And I never, ever, ever saw it fail across the country. When the person does the temperament sorter and you come to find out which particular temperament type the person is, because there's a set of behaviors, there's a set of orientations, a set of disposition that goes with each type, right? Oh, my granddaughters are back, so my show, I mean, like they're partying in there. So, in any case, so you have what you call idealists, artisans, rationals, and guardians. Oh, this is what I was also saying about this. This label. Okay, put big quotes on this because there's a lot of ways people go when they use these words, right? Social construct. It's abused nowadays, and I say misused nowadays, in the whole gender wars kind of thing, right? Man is just a social construct. Woman is just a social construct. They say that. It's okay. No, I'm not going to go further into that. But I want you to understand social concepts. So when I say that the Kiersey Temperament Sorter has been broken down into guardians, idealists, artisans, and rationals, right? Those are social constructs, right? Social constructs, those are labels that have been overlaid on real territory of the human, I have to use this word, psyche, right? There's a real terrain, which is your mind. Your mind is a terrain, right? And your mind can be mapped, literally. That's, the mind is mapped, you know? You have occipital lobe in the right hemisphere, left hemisphere, blah, blah, blah. All right, what I'm trying to get us to understand is that the disposition as it relates to these four types, that's just a label, but you can go back and the information shows, you can go back 2,500 years, there have been different labels, but they're labeling the same thing. It's the same thing, but in 21st century, they might call it guardian, in back in the time of the Greeks, for example, it may be called sanguine. That's not particular. I'm just giving a different word for it. So what I'm saying is, it's still, even though something is labeled differently, that's the social construct for the language of the people who are telling you about it in their time. And so telling you about it in their time, they also tell you about it in their language. And to that extent, it is a social construct. That being said, however, constructs are ways of structuring fundamental realities in order to make them useful to the people, right? Look, we use, I don't know what the difference is when I say this. When someone measures something in inches versus centimeters, right? So one is some other, I don't know, like the British system, and whatever the other system, the inches, I don't know whose name goes with that system. But the point is that they're measuring the same thing, but they're just measuring it in a different way, right? They're measuring the same way, you know, a liter of gasoline versus a gallon of gasoline, right? So it's like, okay, it's a measurement, and there's a quantity of this liquid in this case, and it's measured in liters, and others measured in gallons or what have you. Okay, so even though it has this language, what I'm trying to say is he's talking about the temperaments, the different types of temperaments, guardians, rationals, idealists, artisans, et cetera. Okay, I want you to take the difference between centimeters and inches. Doesn't matter. They're measuring something that's real. It's just putting a different name on it. I guess that's all I can say about that right now. The point is, I have never seen it fail that whatever the description is given for an artisan or whatever the other three remainders are, I've never seen it fail. Meaning that when a person grasps that about their identity, and when you know that about your mate's identity, and when both of you know that about each other, it also makes it easier. Things that would otherwise be fraught with conflict, it becomes easier because, oh, okay, well, that's just her guardian nature. Oh, well, that's just his rational nature. Oh, that's just his idealist nature. Oh, that's just her artisan nature. It's really, 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 really. Right? So when you understand it, it allows you to take a breath and not react to someone not being the way that you want them to be. In reality, once you understand that an individual's temperament is a relatively fixed part of who they are that doesn't change just because you want them to change. And one is not necessarily better than the other. It's all circumstantial. The point is, God has created us with these different dispositions, these different temperaments, because it takes all kinds to make a world, right? So everybody can't be idealist or an artist or a rational or a guardian. Somebody has to be this so that we can do that. And somebody has to be that so that we can do this, right? Civilization itself, sorry, I can't think of the professor's name, and it's accurate in my view. Said that civilization is 5% innovation and 95% imitation. 5% innovation and 95% imitation. What does that mean? It means that it don't take everybody to invent the wheel. It just has to be somebody that invents the wheel, right? Okay, once the wheel has been invented, everybody else don't have to reinvent the wheel. What you have to do is adopt the wheel that's been invented, and now we can make progress in that regard. Somebody else is going to come along, and they're going to invent this tool, and then others are going to imitate the tool. So the 5% bless the 95% with what they needed, as Allah blessed the 5% with what they had in terms of their creative capacity and ability, and then it's given to the world, right? Listen, ChatGPT, just throw that out there for right now. AI, you know, OpenAI, right? It's like, come on. What if somebody was saying, no, you got to pay me for this, right? It's like, no, it's the grace of Allah. That is the grace of Allah. Internet with all of its problems, it's a blessing because it facilitates the need that we have. But quote unquote, whoever claims to invent it doesn't matter. It was less than 5% of the population that invented it, right? So, but who's using it? Who's adopting it, right? The 95%, right? So all that is to say is that God said, if he wanted you all to be the same, I would have created you that way. So Allah created us all different, you know. So the idea is to respect the fact that we all have our differences and respect the fact that if those differences are the natural differences and distinctions between people, the role of those natural differences and distinctions is for the purpose of benefiting the others who are not inclined that way, right? Bible says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the seeing be? Right? So alhamdulillah, so your spouse is of a particular temperament, of a particular disposition. You gotta stop trying to make them be who you want them to be in that sense. Right? Yes, cooperation, all those things. Yeah, there are these things that have to happen in order for there to be peace in the home. So, but I can't get in your own personal house in particular. But sometimes what we may find ourselves for years has been, it may be that they have a temperament that you haven't recognized and you haven't reconciled yourself to that temperament. Or it could also be that you don't know your own temperament and what your requirements are in order for you to have peace, and you're trying to force them to change so you don't have to figure yourself out. Now, I don't know. I could be wrong. But the point is for us to understand that some people are the way they are. Now, I'm about to open up a big box here, but I'm not going to stay there. I got the full, mashallah, inshallah, Allahu alam, I got the full teaching and understanding on it. But there is, Allahu Alam, there is, he says, the woman is like a rib, right? Hadith. And, of course, you know the Bible aspect of it, another interpretation. But it has come into al-Islam through the reports of the Prophet. The woman is like a rib. And the Prophet's Hadith speaks about the highest part of it. He says, to seek to straighten her is to break her. Now, there's a full teaching. I touched on a little bit in the khutbah that we played to begin the broadcast. But short version, we talked a lot about neuroticism in that. And neuroticism can be taken as a negative if you don't understand it fully. If you don't understand it fully, it's a neuroticism. No, neuroticism is a bent, huh? And a bent. Bent means inclination, so the rib is bent, right? So she has a particular inclination, and the inclination is the highest part of the rib, right? To try to straighten it is to break it. So it's like you try to get rid of that thing, that particular bent, that particular temperament, that particular disposition. That's the highest part of it. You're ruining the thing that brings the most benefit. Right? And whoever succeeds in breaking that in a woman, she's broken. She's broken, you know? So the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is telling us, look, she is who she is. She is what she is. And she is a blessing to you if you can learn how to embrace her in accordance with her nature. Stop fronting. Like, it's like, look, if you don't know, you just don't know. Sometimes you need to just ask in a very academic researcher's kind of way. You know, when I do this, you always do that. I just want to understand. Just help me understand. I don't have any attitude. I just don't understand it. Just help me understand it, right? A couple of things. It says, the way to get nature's obedience is to obey her. The way to get nature's obedience is to obey her, right? So think about it. My sisters, you have your corollary to what I'm talking about. I'm speaking to my male counterparts right now. So, it's like the unwillingness to submit, you know, frankly, to our women. it's not a general submission. It's an acknowledgement, a recognition that, okay, she's right. Okay, he's right. Okay, that's the way she is. Submit, right? Al-Islam is submission. So, but when you submit in the best way, in the right way, which I hope is the way that I'm telling you, my meaning, I hope you understand that, then you're gonna find that she's gonna turn around and submit to you. She's gonna turn around and submit to you, right? And another surprising thing for us, we might not understand, it's a natural submission. It's a natural submission, right? But, you know, you can go with the chicken and egg thing if you like. You know, which comes first? Do I submit to her first? Or does she submit to me first? Okay, keep working on that. But I recommend you do what you're supposed to do first. And then how they're supposed to be, that's on them. Recognize this, brother and sister. When you do what nature tells you to do, especially in the intimate relationship that we're talking about right now, is when you do what you're supposed to do by nature, meaning you're obeying nature, right? So you do as a man what you're supposed to do as a man for a woman. It's on her to be what nature calls her to be. Oh, she ain't going to be there. And I ain't going to be there. Okay, well, you just lost. You just lost. It's like you do what you're supposed to do because you're not dealing with her, per se. You're dealing with nature, and now I'll say her nature. Right, but the nature is the same, right? So, I'm acting in accordance with what nature calls of me from a man interacting with a woman, who is also a part of and under the law of nature. Now, if the socialized mind that she's gotten is a mind that's not rightly connected to and respecting the nature of herself as a female, then she's going to be at war inside of herself. The war is not with me. The war is not with me. It's like, because I'm being, inshallah, Allahu A'lam, I'm being the man that I'm supposed to be, reacting to and interacting with a female that is also connected with the laws and orders of nature and having in her that same nature. So when I communicate, I'm communicating to the nature. I'm not communicating to the ego. That is her ego. I'm communicating to the nature. I'm responsible to the nature. So situation X, whatever situation X is, all right? I'm a man, she's a woman. Situation X, all right? Situation seems to be a conflict in some way. Okay, stop. I'm a man. Situation X, a man acting in accordance with what God would expect of them would do this. Okay, so I'm going to do what God and nature says I'm supposed to do as a man. Now, they got to decide on their side of the net, let me use that metaphor, they have to decide on their side of that, okay, so are you going to do what nature calls for you to do as a woman in situation X? Your choice, right? And that's another big dimension of all of this. It's like you have to let the other person have their free will. If God don't take it away, who are you to take it away? That's pretty much it. So let's close this out. So we talked about the VAT, you know, visual auditory kinesthetic. We talked about temperament, Kiersey temperament sorter to find out what your temperament and theirs is. Also, another one to look into is, I talked about the big five, the ocean. Right? Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. So you can get a self-assessment online and find out which are you more inclined to. And it gives you a whole explanation about that. Because you have to know yourself. You have to know yourself. I know it might come across like a cliche, but that's That's millennials old wisdom. It's like, know thyself. And the prophet, peace be upon him, says, he who has known himself has known his Lord, right? So the knowledge of self, this is what I'm talking about in terms of getting to know these things. So, you know, the love language, you know, the vax, you know, the temperament. And if you take, you want to go that far to get the ocean reading of yourself and your mate. And then when you understand and operate, I got to tell you, Stephen Covey, I've said this before, Stephen Covey, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, especially the piece on listening, that's a big thing. Communication is a whole other subject. But I'm telling you, Allahu A'lam, if you know, if you become a conscious communicator and you understand that men and women speak different genderlects, just like there's dialects, like British English and American English, dialects, right? Well, same way with male-female communication. We have genderlects. There's a way that women speak, and there's a background to their speech, and there's a way that men speak, and there's a background in nature. It's called meta-messages. All these things, you just got to look them up. So who is that? That's Dr. Deborah Tannen. But I'm going to, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I thank Allah. I'm pleased with what I've had the opportunity to share with you today, and I hope you find benefit in it. I know it's beneficial if you use it, because I always think about B.B. King when I get to this point. B.B. King said, "I love to live the life that I sing about. I love to live the life." What I'm talking to you about, this is not theater. It's not theater. Yeah, this is the information. Okay, 708, coming to you very quickly. We're going to be off in about 4 minutes. You have been extremely patient. 708, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. Dina Muhammad from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Are you Dina Muhammad from South Carolina?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So,
how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. I just had to tune in. Normally I'm working, and I don't get a chance to just hear the recordings, and I don't get a chance to add in. But I did want to come in and make a comment. I didn't have a question. I just wanted to comment on the nuggets that I get from listening to you, and I'm so appreciative of the information, the wisdom that you have to share, and that you're sharing it, and that you're giving it so freely. These are the things that you've been sharing. It's been over the years. Actually, I've been listening to you consistently, I see now, for the last year. And the way that kind of came about is that my daughter would never answer her phone when I tried to talk to her on Saturday. She's like, "No, I can't. I don't answer the phone because I'm listening to Imam Fahim." Okay, so this was always the case. So that's what kind of got me back on, listening to you. And I thank Allah for that I've been able to listen to you, because you've made the religion so practical to me and be able to understand our religion, our Quran, alhamdulillah, on a practical level, which makes it so useful and helpful. And I want to just go back to this event that happened years and years and years ago when I was in California. We came there for something, and there was a program also for the sisters. I guess the sisters at the masjid were given, and it was an event where your daughter, and I'm not sure which one it was reading Surah Al-Rahman. And every time I hear that, listen to it, read it, I think about your daughter, alhamdulillah. And thank you for all that you share, that you give, that you continue to give. Thank you for having such a wonderful message to give to everyone. And congratulations on your marriage of 51 years, I'm not sure. 51, alhamdulillah. And please express my greetings to your family, to your wife, Sister Yolanda. And I'm just so grateful. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
Thank you. We're grateful to hear from you as well. Give all the salam. All right. Thank you. So, alhamdulillah. That's gonna be it for now. And now I'm tell you something since she's off the line right now. That we were in Rome together. That is the group of us from the community, Imam Muhammad, and we went down beneath the basilica. Beneath the basilica, and it's like there's the basilica when you go in there and see all the statuary in Rome. Then they took us on a tour beneath it. It's almost like the catacombs where you go down there. And we came across a picture of a Madonna and Child, a picture of Madonna and Child. One of those that was painted, had, you know, whatever, hundreds of years ago, whenever they were painting stuff. And wallahi, I'm telling you, this picture looked just like Bina Muhammad. In fact, I think I went and got her. And I said, look at it. So that was really, really significant. Truly, you would agree with me if you could see it. You would agree with me that if you know, of course, you got to know Bina too. So you see that. So alhamdulillah, I thank Allah for all of you. And I have so much, man, make dua for me, I'll make dua for you. Alhamdulillah, our women, so very important to us. I'm satisfied with my one wife of 51 years, et cetera. I have no aspirations, but I'm just going to stop that part of the conversation because I don't polish it up at all. The point is, my brothers, sisters, you need to know too, but brothers, we need to know for sure that the woman, I talk about the Quran being the universe of laws in the book, is true. The Quran is the universe of laws in a book. That's what we have. However, what we're missing, I believe, is that the woman herself is a model universe. I'm not a rapper. I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a poet. I'm none of that. I'm a student, you know, researcher, teacher, and it's a fact. The woman is a model universe, right? Of course, I'm thinking about this Miss Universe kind of thing. That's kind of a white supremacy thing, but though that's a falsehood too. But the point is that there is an element of truth in it. If you have an archetypal female, and it's not always that one that they put on the stage, that this is the beauty. No, the point is that the woman is a universe. She is a universe. And inshallah, another time as we continue in this vein, we'll get to a clear explanation of that with Allah's help. So I thank you all for your presence, your comments, and we are grateful for you. And as God says, if you're grateful, I will give you more. So let us continue to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you. That's it for today. God speaks to you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.